convene the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting. Go ahead, Joe.
I think I was at any questions particularly.
Do you have anything for Joe?
No, it's all.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, if you could ask if there's any public comment, say maybe on the first two questions, whether written complaint would be necessary, or should county personnel, what should they do when they see a nuisance? And see if there's any public comment on that.
All right. Good time. I'll ask for public comment. On either of the items that Mr. Morris just went ahead and spoke of? Nobody has any interest? All right. Let's go ahead and move along, Mr. Morris.
Thank you. The next question that I was going to raise, which should an independent hearing officer be appointed, or should a county employee hold the position, and who should appoint the officer? Currently, it's set up in the proposed ordinance that it's going to be an independent hearing officer appointed by the board. And so I just thought that that was something that the board might be interested in discussing.
And I am, if I may, I am an extremely strong advocate, having worked with this process since 1999. I'm an extreme advocate for having an independent hearing officer, not a county employee. I think it puts that independency in there. I've had suggested to me we may want to appoint more than one hearing officer. For instance, let's say we have a complaint in Virginia City. Perhaps that could be heard by a hearing officer from either the River District or the Highlands. If we had a complaint from the Highlands, let's say, then it could be heard by a Virginia City one. We take open advertisements similar to what we do for planning commissioners and everything else and appoint a panel of available hearing officers that we could try to keep the individuals from their own determining in their own community. And I really don't want to see this become an employee of the county. We've tried that. We've finagled even elected officers who have, you know, agonized through every minute of them having to, you know, conduct some of this stuff. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Jack, your thoughts on that?
That sounds good. Kind of wonder what kind of authority these officers would have. Can they, will they be able to go onto private property as opposed to no trespassing? Are they going to be able to, they're not going to issue a citation or any sort, they're just going to take a report?
They're going to investigate and hopefully have pictures to back it up. You cannot go onto property without permission. There is the possibility of doing administrative search warrants, but you would have to apply to a court to be able to get on the property with that.
So would that person go to the county manager or go to the court? How would that proceed?
The investigator would go sort of verify whether there's a nuisance or not. They would issue a notice. In there, they would say what the nuisance is, how long it needed, or how long the person had to clean it up. At that point, if the homeowner or occupant didn't cooperate with it, they could ask for an appeal from the hearing officer to the board. But if they don't appeal it, it becomes something that the county can enforce. If they're dissatisfied at the board level, they would have to go to court. It'd be a judicial review at that point.
From the county commission to the judicial court, then?
Yes.
The hearings officer's the secretary.
Yes.
Okay. So when you have a nuisance, there's two different ways that you can have a nuisance. You can handle it civilly, which Pat Whitten has been talking about earlier, or you have criminal remedies. So if you decide to handle it civilly, what would happen is that you would now have the person that says, hey, I don't have a nuisance on my property, and the person that is saying, yes, you do, by an investigation done by somebody in the county, either independently or based on a person making a complaint, or two people. You guys haven't decided that yet. Now you go before the hearing officer. The county official states their case on saying why it's a nuisance. The individual states their case saying, or why it is, and they're stating why it isn't. Now you've got an independent hearings officer, civilly. So now an independent hearings officer, we've heard different variations about if somebody were living in Virginia City, why don't we have somebody from the river district come up? Well, it doesn't even have to be that narrow. It does not have to be the independent person, which you want an independent person. It does not even have to be in this a member that lives in this jurisdiction. So now you've got the civil hearings officer. The hearings officer upholds the county official and says it is a nuisance.
Or not.
Or not. No, I'm using this as an example. So now this person is going to appeal that decision. Then it goes before the Board of Commissioners as the appeal process, correct? Okay. If they still don't like the decision, because the county commission says, hey, this is a nuisance, the next level is that it would be a court would step in civilly. Now, if you have a criminal nuisance, it immediately starts out with the complaint coming over to the district attorney's office. Me, as the district attorney, I look at the information and determine, pursuant to the statute, whether I believe that I've got a case that would allow me to prosecute this case. And if it's a criminal case, the standard of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. It goes in front of the justice of the peace, and a decision is made criminally. So those are the, and civilly, the process would be administrative hearing process, which is what, preponderance of the evidence. So you have different standards depending on the method that you take. Civil, preponderance of the evidence, hearing officer method, board, court, criminal process, person turns in a complaint to me, I make a decision according to statute. If I end up filing a criminal complaint, I would be the one that prosecutes before a judge with a burden beyond a reasonable doubt.
If it's a criminal complaint, wouldn't you bring the sheriff department into the loop?
Not necessarily. Before, again, I'm relating to Carson because this is the best example I can give you. I would get complaints from numerous departments, from the contractors board, the person that determines a nuisance. They could file a complaint just like the sheriff's office does in these particular areas. And that's what we're trying to determine here today when they're talking about the different divisions that would have the authority to do an investigation, either the person that runs the department or their designee. So generally, I get my complaints from the sheriff's office. However, I can get them from contractors board.
Building department, fire department.
Yep. You know. Yes. Code violations. So, you know, the one thing you just want to make sure is that, you know, to make a huge distinction between actual statutory authority and, like, let's say a homeowner's, you know, just homeowner's rules, where now you don't have the homeowner's board calling, because I get a lot of those calls, where we'd like you to do something about this. And it's just like, that's your authority on a homeowner's board. Let's get this statute that the rules are pretty well laid out, that people understand what the rules of the game are in the area of nuisances.
I had one more. We're talking about, from my past experience dealing with noisy dogs, It was filed with a complaint with the sheriff's office. After a couple of complaints, they would then cite the person to appear in court. So are we, would we be doing that differently now, according to the way I'm reading this here? Are we sidestepping the sheriff's office?
No. The section actually calls out the sheriff or his or her designee as authorized inspector for public nuisances regarding Title VI animals. So they would still have jurisdiction over it. The only thing that they would have to do is use the inspector to do a notice of nuisance to the person. They could also refer it to the district attorney's office to have it done criminally if they want. So they would, they could do it civilly by having the inspector do it and going in front of the hearing officer. There's animals tend to be more complicated than normal nuisances, and so that's why I was saying that you might want to have two complaints on a barking dog as opposed to one, just to make sure that it is a true problem. But that would come up in the animal ordinance, which isn't here today. That would come later.
You have any questions on this, Lance?
No, my concern is definition of nuisance. You know, if I were sitting independently in any one of the positions we're talking about here, I would want to have a firm foundational base for what constitutes a nuisance. I don't want an arbitrary and capricious situation for folks to deal with. So,
and if I could just address that a little bit, if you look under the top of page 2, 801.010, you'll see that there are definitions in that detailing what is a nuisance. And I can tell you other jurisdictions, a lot of the smaller jurisdictions have less definition than this. Some of the larger jurisdictions, such as Reno, have several pages of what is a nuisance under their municipal code. And so that's one of the things that we can do. We can strengthen the definitions to add more text so that it's clearer. And so that's something that I could do for you and bring it back with expanded definitions.
I'd encourage us to look at that, definitely.
The next one that I was going to discuss is, should all complaints go through the county manager's office?
Did you want to ask for public comment, though?
Sure.
Okay. Well, last time we did two in a row, so.
Okay,
we could do.
Whichever way you want to go, because I have input on
you. All right. But. Does anybody want to make public comment as we are right now on this?
I'd like to make a comment on behalf of the sheriff's office.
Come on up.